Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to Coffee and Devotion Saturday edition. I know you're thinking, what in the world? It's not a weekday. It's okay. It's okay. I just don't want to get behind in our schedule. We actually were supposed to cover almost all of chapter 29, and I thought that's too much, so I broke it up, but I don't want to get behind like I did last year, and so we're going to do a Saturday edition. I hope I don't interrupt your morning Saturday morning cartoons. Let's have some coffee. We'll pray. We'll get into the Lord's word. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you for your word, and we pray now that as we read your word, that you would care for us. Please, Lord, we need you to be the instructors of our minds and of our souls, that we would follow after you, that we would know your ways and love you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we're at Genesis chapter 31. Genesis chapter 31. Sorry, it was chapter 30. It was wanting me to do basically a whole chapter, and I thought that was too much. Genesis chapter 31, and we'll do verses 1 through 21 together. Now Jacob heard the words of Laban's son, saying, Jacob has taken away all that was our father's. And from what was our father's, he has acquired all his wealth. And Jacob saw the countenance of Laban, and indeed it was not favorable toward him as before. Then the Lord said to Jacob, return to the land of your fathers and to your family, and I will be with you. So Jacob sent and called Rachel and Leah to the field, to his flock, and said to them, I see your father's countenance, that it is not favorable toward me as before. But the God of my father has been with me. And you know that with all my might I have served your father. Yet your father has deceived me and changed my wages 10 times. But God did not allow him to hurt me. If he said thus, a speckled shall be your wages, then all the flocks bore speckled. And if he said thus, a streaked one shall be your wages, then all the flocks bore streaked. So God has taken away the livestock of your father and given them to me. And it happened at the time when the flocks conceived that I lifted my eyes and saw in a dream, and behold, the rams which leaped upon the flocks were streaked, speckled, and gray-spotted. Then the angel of God spoke to me in a dream, saying, Jacob. And I said, here I am. And he said, lift your eyes now and see, all the rams which leap on the flocks are speckled, streaked, and gray-spotted. For I have seen all that Laban is doing to you. I am the God of Bethel, where you anointed the pillar and where you made a vow to me. Now arise, get out of this land and return to the land of your family. Then Rachel and Leah answered and said to him, is there still any portion or inheritance for us in our father's house? Are we not considered strangers by him? For he has sold us, and also completely consumed our money. For all these riches which God has taken from our father are really ours and our children's. Now then, whatever God has said to you, do it. Now Jacob rose and set his sons and his wives on camels, and he carried away all his livestock and all his possessions which he had gained, his acquired livestock which he had gained in Paddan Aram, to go to his father Isaac in the land of Canaan. Now Laban had gone to shear sheep, and Rachel had stolen the household idols that were her father's, and Jacob stole away, unknown to Laban the Syrian, in that he did not tell him that he intended to flee. So he fled with all that he had. He arose and crossed the river and headed toward the mountains of Gilead. Well, we need to ask ourselves, A, what's this about? B, what's the best verse to summarize this? And C, what are we called to do in response to this? Well, Jacob's realized the gig is up. Right? Laban's not happy with him anymore. Laban was overjoyed to have this bachelor come. He gave him his daughters. But now, as the wealth has transferred hands, as Jacob's rouse has happened, well, Laban's not happy with him anymore. His herds and flocks aren't producing how he thought, and yet Jacob's are, and so he realizes he's got to get out of Dodge. This isn't going to be well. He hears the rumors. The culture's changed. It's not going to be good for him. So he decides he's got to leave. And so he gathers his wives, and he, you know, they're there, and he says, "We're out of here. We're going to leave because your father has continued to treat me unfairly." And it seems like we didn't really pick up on this last time, but we get more information here. Laban's no dummy. He sees that Jacob's herds are increasing and his aren't. And so he's getting suspicious. So he keeps flip-flopping. Well, instead of it being the speckled ones, I get the speckled ones and you get the normal ones. And when that didn't work, he'd flip it back. Well, I want the speckled ones. And it'd go back and forth. Non-speckled, speckled, and back and forth, back and forth. He says, he's done this to me 10 times. Now, what Laban doesn't realize is that it's Jacob who's doing this. But the gig is up. It seems as if the Lord is also working through this. And it's God himself who tells him in verse 3, "Return to the land of your fathers, to your family, and I will be with you." And then also in verse 13, well, 12 and 13, "For I have seen all that Laban is doing to you, and I am the God of Bethel, where you anointed the pillar and where you made a vow to me. Now arise, get out of this land, and return to the land of your family." The Lord himself sees this isn't going to go well for you. You need to leave. He identifies himself as the God that he had seen at Bethel. And he needs to go. Go back to the land. Go back to the family inheritance that God had brought him from. And so he tells his wives, and those wives say, Yep, our father's taken our inheritance and he has sold it off. He hasn't been a good businessman. There's nothing left for us here. Let's go. Right, and so they're going to go, and in the meantime, Rachel, well, what does she do? She goes in verse 19, "And Rachel had stolen the household idols that were her father's." Right, she goes and she raids her dad's house. Now, we might think, household idols? Why would she steal household idols? Aren't these people followers of the Lord? We're going to find out regularly that there's all sorts of people who are supposed to be followers of the Lord and yet still have a place in their heart for idols. But also, idols are valuable. Wood and precious stones. And so, she's also raiding her father's house of valuables that she could then use later for profit. Now, this is again, I don't want to whitewash the story. And we're going to find out more about these household idols and even Rachel's willingness to lie to her father on Monday when we come back to this passage, or to the next passage. But Rachel steals from her father's house. And so, what's this about? Well, Jacob flees from Laban. God tells Jacob to flee from Laban. And in the midst of it, there's messed up stuff that's happening. Seems like a common reoccurring pattern here, doesn't it? I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but we're going to find this even more when we keep going through Jacob's life. And then we're going to find it even more when we get to the Israelites in Exodus. We're going to find it even more when we go to Leviticus. We're going to find out that we ought not to put our trust waiting for perfect people. Because it's not going to happen. Every single human being is a sinner. There's none good, no, not one. This is what the Bible teaches. It hasn't given us these stories to go, "Oh man, Jacob is the most righteous person. This is wonderful." No. No, go read Romans chapters 2 and 3 and 4. It's not because they were righteous, but it was because he listened to the God of Bethel. It's because he listened to the Lord and he believed in the covenants. What's the best verse to summarize this? Well, in my Bible, I have verse 3, part of verse 12, verse 13 underlined. I have three words in verse 20 underlined as well. Jacob stole away. Maybe you would underline something else. What would you underline in your Bible? Well, last C, calling. What are we called to do from this passage? Well, do you believe? Do you listen to the God of Jacob? When he tells you to go, do you go? When he tells you to arise, do you arise? Do you trust in him? Do you trust that he sees your plight? God knows that you are not a perfect person. Yet, he still cares for you. I don't know if that makes sense to you, but I praise God that he cares for me despite me. Thank God he cares for you despite you. He provides for you, he feeds you, he clothes you, he loves you, even though you still struggle with sin. Even though you still struggle with being a fallen person. The Lord is generous, the Lord is gracious, the Lord is good. And we can thank him for that. Let's go to the Lord now in prayer. Lord, we thank you so much that we can trust you, for you are a God full of grace and mercy. Lord, we pray that you would please care for us this day. We pray that we would walk not according to the darkness, but in the light. That we would do the good works that you have called us beforehand to do. That you would continue to teach us to put off sin and to put on righteousness. But Lord, that will never stop. We will always have to do that. But Lord, we thank you that you are a generous and gracious God. And that you did not wait for us to become perfect, but you sent your Son. And you loved us while we were yet sinners. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, may the God of all grace show his grace to you. May the peace of Jesus Christ be with you. And may the Holy Spirit endear you to the Lord more and more. And I'll see you on Monday. Bye.